We thank God for this church, this mission. I met this mission, as I know you've heard, but I'll say it again, through telephone time in the 70s, hearing Pastor Stevens, that voice you heard, Pastor Stevens' voice on the radio, WACE 730, Springfield, Massachusetts. And when I heard the voice, the word voice actually means a light. The word voice comes from the word light, and the light shone. And I'm really thankful that God has brought me into this ministry, because I never would have made it. It wouldn't have happened. John chapter 4. I just want to read one verse here. It really struck me. It says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the men," actually two verses, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Father, thank you tonight. Come see God. Come see a man. Come see the God-man. We pray, God. We pray that you'd speak to us through the Word, through the Spirit, in the church. Bless our night tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe first of all, thanking God for the ministry and many great ministries like it around the world, but in particular, this is my church.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, this is my church. And I'm very thankful for that. Thankful for all churches. God brought me in. And without the church, and I remember without the church, being without a church for quite a while, but a year, maybe being born again. I actually got saved the day my daughter Lisa was born. It actually happened in my house. I was really very nervous and very anxious and fearful about the birth of a child. And I opened my Bible up and I read Acts chapter 9. And God really spoke to me. I said, "What happened to that man? Could that happen to me?" And it was really incredible. And just the sense of the Holy Spirit coming in. And I don't know, I never had heard really about being born again except for one time in 1972. And it was just like an answer to prayer. And I remember my great-grandmother often saying to me, "You especially I'm praying for. Because you are a mess." And she says, I pray for you that God will change your life. And I thought, she's this crazy old lady, my grandmother. And I didn't pay much mind to it. But I think God hears prayers. I think one of the reasons why we are here, we said this at Faith Promise Night, this is the very area that the Moravians first came to. If you don't know anything about the Moravians, they had a missions movement that lasted 150 years. They sent out most of Protestant Christianity. The ratio for missionaries was 1 to every 5,000 born-again believers. The Moravians, it was 1 to 60. 1 to 60. In 20 years, they sent out more missionaries than the Protestant church did in 200 years. They were right here. What's the name of the street that we're on? Hello, Moravia Park Drive. I mean, that's incredible. And realize that they were probably praying many prayers from this very area, and along with many other areas. And so, like we could say, we might be the answer to many prayers, and their prayers in particular. That we are here with a missions vision that's gone on over 50 years and has reached into some of those figures. They get them from me, but I'm always wrong. It's 76 countries. I mean, this can change weekly, and the church number is right, though. But it's really incredible that we could be a part of a ministry that could reach somebody. And this woman came to a well, and it's really interesting to me that the woman had a need, which was to fill her water pot. She needed water. I don't know. You can go without food for a while, but especially in the desert area, try going without water for a while. Yeah, that happened to me, and I had a stroke. I just decided, Mr. Smart Guy, I don't need to drink as much water as everybody's always telling me, and there I was in the hospital, like dumbfounded, not knowing who I was. So she came for water, and they just happened to go, the disciples went to the city to find something to eat. So one's looking for water, the others are looking for food. They're looking for provision in life. And I think this can happen. There's nothing wrong with looking for provision, but I think I would rather follow God, as we heard today, and let God provide. Amen? We follow God, and God provides. And she left. This is amazing. What she came to do, she left her water pot. She just left it. I mean, it was as if like, it doesn't even matter. I don't even remember it. I've met a man who's told me everything I've ever done is not this to Christ. And she really understood mercy, because she knew that Jesus knew she was on her fifth husband, which meant no one would ever talk to anyone like that that was a religious person. And he was at Sychar. The city is called the city of drunkards. He's in Samaria, which we've said before, they were called half devils. They were Jews and they were Assyrians. They called them devils. It's incredible. And he meets this woman, and she becomes the person. You know, it's said a little bit later on in the verse, I think verse 36, the person that sows and the person that reaps rejoices together. Isn't that good? The person that sows and the person that reaps rejoices together. So she went into the city, this amazing woman, and she began to speak to everybody about this one person, the God man, Jesus Christ. And the whole city came out to speak him, and they said, now we really believe, not because of what the woman said, but because of what we heard. And then years later, in Acts chapter 8, and I love the aspect of joyness, the one that sows and the one that reaps rejoices together. It says in Acts 8:8, when Philip went to Samaria, where did he go? Samaria, there was great joy in the city. Amen. Great joy in the city. And that is a direct result of the sowing of the woman later on reaping. You know, and many times it's going to, maybe there's a time period in there. And people sow and they give out gospel tracts and they pray and they give, and some are sowing, and we're rejoicing together. I think it's incredible that we as a ministry right here, with praying, attending church, believing God, being a part of the local assembly, members in particular, that as people are out in the mission field, we're doing this together. Hello? We're doing this together. This is not just, well, thank God for people that go. I understand that. But if there's no place to go from, there's a small problem. Hello? There's a small problem. So we rejoice together. And it's incredible, this joy that we can have in just seeing somebody say yes to God. I mean, I was thinking today, the angels are rejoicing in heaven, not over who is prime minister or president of a country. The angels are not rejoicing because, you know, everything is going well financially. The angels are not rejoicing because of a new this, a new that, or health issues or whatever. It says the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner who says yes to God. Can you imagine? I can cause and you can cause activity in heaven. We can do something here that does make something happen up there. Isn't that incredible? We can do something here that makes something happen up there. I don't know if they're flapping their wings or whatever, but there's joy in heaven. And that means not just joy with the angels. I think all of heaven rejoices when a person says yes to God. And what could be worth more than that? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Loses his soul. And this is incredible, the joy. Now, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 18, 19, and 20. And he said to them, because he went to that city, I remember being in, we called it Salonika or Thessaloniki with Pastor Stewart. I can't tell you how many times the police nabbed us. I mean, it was incredible what took place in Thessaloniki. You know, everywhere we went. At one time, Randy Bertocchi, in a mine, because the police were chasing, he dove right into the ocean off the pier.
The police were just looking, going,
"Let him go. We don't have to worry about him." Okay, you remember that, right? And in Salonika or Thessaloniki, it was incredible what God was doing there. And so Paul goes there and he's ministering there and he says, you are my joy. You are my crown of rejoicing. You are my hope and you are my glory. You, he said, you, the church. But something is written a little bit ahead of there that we need to understand when it comes to missions. I would have come to you again, time and again, but Satan hindered us. I don't want to concentrate on that part tonight, but it's a reality. It means he cut into our progress. He cut into our progress. That's what the word means. He cut in, he hindered. He tried to stop the movement. And there's all kinds of things that can happen in a believer's life, in a church life, that could hinder them from having a vision for people across the street and around the world. It could be, well, we don't have that kind of money. Well, God does. Come on, what is that? Well, we're not really qualified. Really? The Mark 5 guy that had 6,000 demons cast out of him, he didn't do a bad job in 10 cities. And we know we believe in training and the word of God and all that, you know. What are we going to do? I mean, what's going to happen when we get over there? And there's the hindrance of the enemy. Oh, come on, you're not talking. Is there really, you know, I don't believe. I believe that many people do not believe there's really an enemy. I think they would say, yeah, yeah, I agree with it theologically, but do they understand it experientially? Do they realize that the enemy wants to hinder us? And he uses the world. What world? What is he the god of? What is Satan the god of? He's the god in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and 3:14. He's the god of this world. That means, in one aspect, we are in the world, but we're not of it. We have another kingdom, but he's the god of this world, and he uses the world and the system. By the way, the word cosmos means that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. That's the world. 19 times Jesus used it in his prayer. In John 17, he used that word 19 times. It was on his mind. Watch out for the world. Disciples, watch out for the world, apostles. And so the enemy wants to hinder, cut into the progress and the things he can use, you know. Oh, well, you know, they got enough people over. There's Christians that already live over there. What's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with anything? God calls us as a ministry. I don't know exactly how many missionaries. We have 1,000 missionaries in all these different countries. But thank God. And the enemy wants to hinder that. And he uses the flesh. And he uses the world system. Because if we saw the enemy face to face, we'd say, oh yeah, now I understand. But because of the old sin nature which he penetrates and the world system which he uses, we can find ourselves having really no thought pattern. And much of Christianity has very little thought pattern or decision making when it comes to reaching a lost and dying world. And that is so sad. That is so grieving to me. So grieving to me. I read something, a statistic, that in the United States of America, only 1 out of every 10 Christians evangelizes. And 10% of all churches even have anything to do with missions. See, it's not going this way, it's going this way. But you know what? You ain't stopping this church. Amen. You ain't stopping. You're not stopping this ministry. You're not stopping this ministry. Are you with me? We've got men of God, Pastor Stevens, Pastor Schaller, the elders of the church, men and women of God, a Christian school and a Bible school, and all these parts of this great body, members in particular, and we've got a vision. For without it, we what? We run wild and become undisciplined. But what a joy when you see this missions march tonight, and when you see these children up here, what a joy it is. The joy of the Lord. And by the way, did you ever read this verse? I saw it today for the first time in a long time. Nehemiah 12:43. The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. What a verse that is, isn't it? The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. And so here we are having great joy over the person of Christ and the body of Christ and the gospel of Christ. That joy is heard afar off. And then we've got churches around the world that are penetrating areas. And with 6.5 billion people lost. How many people? They say there's only 700 to 750 million born-again believers on this planet. I'm sorry to say that. If you disagree, that's great. Come to the missions office and we'll talk. But that's incredible. Like 90%, I mean, it's like incredible. And really, what is taking place? And then Christians are seeking for joy in so many places. So many places and so many avenues. You know, just saying yes to God. I was thinking about this today. Like, C.T. Studd was a great missionary. He was a little weird. Yeah, he had a briefcase, and on the briefcase it said, he had a sticker that said, "Don't give a damn." Why did he say that? I'm sorry for using that word. Okay, why did he say that? Because he was touched by a message. Carl Kuhn preached the message. And C.T. Studd was a young man. He heard the message, "Cannibals need Christ." By the way, if you're going to work amongst cannibals, keep yourself thin. They're just not into it. Like, if you look like a wire, they're like going to leave you alone because it's not worth it for them. Please don't take that wrong. I'm not talking about weight. Cannibals need Christ. C.T. Studd left. C.T. Studd left that night, and he was angry. He goes, "What's wrong with Christians? Why won't they go?" He had already spent 10 years in India and 12 years in China. Already did that. He was old and sick. He was very sick. And you know what he said? "I want to go." And then he went to the doctor. The doctor said, "No way. Just the trip alone to Khartoum will kill you. The trip will kill you." All right? He went to his wife. She goes, "You must be joking. I would never follow you to that place, Africa." The mission board said, "Absolutely not." He had no money. His family gathered and said, maybe we got to commit the guy. Something's wrong with him. Everybody said no. His health said no. Family said no. Wife said no. Church said no. Finances said no. And God said go. Amen. And God said go. I called you. C.T. Studd went to Africa and spent 30 years working among cannibals. And he never got eaten. You could find him writing goodbye. Now, he was a little bit crazy. You know, there's even aspects of his theology that was a little bit. But you know what? God has to use people that are a little bit off the wall to penetrate places. No, really. They can't be. If you're stable, you're not like, oh, you know, it ain't going to work. You got to be a little bit strange. Don't look at me. No, I'm just saying, you got to be a little bit strange. And you don't care. You just say, I'm going. Why? Because there's such a joy. There is such a joy in that. The Philippians, by the way, they didn't have joy. And I, you know what? Churches that are having problems, I guarantee if they put their mind on lost people, those problems would go away. In going, it all goes. Amen. He said in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that in the day of Christ, I would not have run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, my life would not be to no purpose. I want to run and I want to labor and I don't want it to be empty. And he says, I want to rejoice in the day of Christ. And this is what missions is all about. And I could say, I've got everything's all figured out. I had it all figured out. Oh yeah, working with drug addicts and alcoholics, had two homes, had a prison ministry in three different prisons. I had it all figured out. I had it all figured out. Exactly what I was going to do with my Christianity, and I was going to develop it, and I was going to go forward in it, and it was me and people with problems, prisoners and drugs. And God said, "Oh, really?" And you preached the message in Storrington Chapel from Hebrews chapter 11, and I told you the story. I hid in the balcony because I wanted nothing to do with missions. I thought mission people were a little bit weird. Yeah, I found out later that was kind of strange and insane thinking that. And he spoke a message from Hebrews 11, and the Holy Spirit pinned me against the wall and said, "You." Then I still was messed up because I was going to Italy. For what? I don't have any idea. And Pastor Stephen said to me, "Did you ever pray about Africa?" I said, "For what?" He goes, "Would you pray about it?" I said, "Nope." He said, "I think you should go to Africa." I said, "I used to trust your discernment." I said, "I ain't going to Africa. I ain't even thinking about Africa. I'm not praying about Africa. I don't even want to look at the map. I don't even look at Africa on the map." Guess what happened? 33 years later, It's still what? Africa. Okay? And like so many of you, whether it's in China or Central Asia or wherever it may be, I had a great time with all the Indian pastors today, you know? And think about this. In India, we have 160 churches. Isn't that something? 160 churches. Out of Mumbai comes 115. Out of Bangalore comes the rest of them. And then 47 churches in Nepal. How does this happen? This is a work of God. Amen. Hello? Yep. How does this happen? Where's your big bank accounts? Where's all the rich people? I don't know. But I do know this is happening. And it's God who is for it. Who can be against it? Amen. Are you there? They said, oh, you put us in jail once in Acts 4, put us in jail in Acts 5. We're going to come out rejoicing. If this is the work of God, you can't overthrow it. You cannot overthrow it. You idiot devil. You can't overthrow it. And we have joy doing it. We have joy. One of our great emphases is on prayer. We have 7 prayer meetings a week now. And if you want to come Sunday night after church, Tuesday morning at staff prayer, Tuesday night after outreach or Bible school, Wednesday night after church, Thursday after Bible school or outreach, Friday night after Bible college, and Saturday at 12 o'clock. 7 prayer meetings a week. And you know what? It can become a joy to pray.
Amen?
Amen? There's joy. God answers prayer. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
God answers prayer. He's going to call people tonight. You see these kids here? They're the future. Livingstone, I said, was called when he was 12 years old. And take them. Leave the water pot. Don't just leave it. Kick it over. You know how some people cast their cares, but they don't cast them away so far so they can always go get them when they need to? Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And we throw it, but I can still see it. Oh, yeah, I still see that care. I still see that care. There, I know where the care is. And I go and pick it up again. Kick the water pot out of the way. She left her water pot. Maybe my water pot is finances. Maybe it's an identity with my home nation. And that's great if it's God's call. Maybe, what is my water pot? My health. I'm too sick and I'm too old. And do they have any hospitals there? Whatever. I went to a hospital one time and the guy said, you have to have your appendix out within the next 5 minutes. I had a kidney stone. I told the guy, could you just wait a bit and we could check this out a little bit more? I shouldn't say that, I know, Linda, because people. No, but my health, my finances, my future. You know what? You know my future, what I'm going to do. Listen, nobody even here knows if they have a future. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We have no idea. Oh, somebody said to me, you're getting old. I said, what do you want me to preach at your funeral? Because old, I don't like the word. Are you with me? I don't like the word. You know, I said to my wife, we have to have a plan from 70 to 80 and then one from 80 to 90 and then we'll think about the next step. No, you got to have a plan. The plan is reaching people, whether it's here in this city or it's in a country in Europe or it's someplace in South America or wherever it may be. We're going to have, by the way, we're having Seacon this year in Thailand again. Seacon is like, you know, Southeast Asia Conference in October. If you can make it, just come. But just having this amazing opportunity that we have and to have this incredible joy. They that sow and they that reap rejoice together. Rejoice together. There's millions of people in China that need Christ. Amen? There's India. I mean, think about it. Africa, South America. Africa is now at 1.2 billion people. And the Middle East and Europe and Eastern Europe and Russia and Central America and Canada. Did somebody say amen?
Amen.
And you did not have the beginning for basketball. I want to make that publicly clear. They were telling me that basketball began in Canada. I'm sorry. We need to talk very seriously at some point. Okay. It's Naismith and it was Springfield, Massachusetts. All right. Hall of Fame, right, Pat Lynch? Okay, joy. The joy of seeing somebody say yes to Christ. The joy of a prayer answered. The joy of a missionary sent. The joy of a new church being planted. It's incredible. What a joy. And I don't want to have my joy be in just oh, wow, can I have sprinkles on my ice cream? And I like sprinkles on my ice cream, okay? Or, you know, the joy of buying a new vehicle, or the joy of this or the joy of that. The joy of a soul who gets converted.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing, all heaven, angels are flapping their wings. Woo! They're like flapping their wings. And it's like joy. The Trinity is having joy. The Old Testament and New Testament saints that are there, there's joy spread for one person who says yes to Christ. One person that says yes to Christ. And you know what it is? Don't get intimidated by any of what I'm saying, but say this to God. God, make me a soul winner. In my local church, in my Baltimore, I will make you fishers of men. You can't make yourself. I will do the making. Let me do the making. You do the taking, and you bring the message. And it could be somebody at a grocery store. It doesn't mean you have to be there on Saturday morning, although that's a great benefit, or some other night. But God, touch me so that I could touch others. Let's bring them one at a time. If everybody in this room brought a new person in the next year, this room is finished. We need to put canopies outside and have, like, you know, 3,000 people outside. Are you with me? Everybody win one. Everybody go after one. Everybody win one. The joy of Jesus Christ. The joy of a conversion. The joy of a soul. This is what Paul said. So, Father, thank you tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Many times we say no, but God says go. Seven times in Philippians 1, Paul uses the word gospel. 10 times in 1 Corinthians 9, here's a church with a lot of problems, and you know what the answer was? Get involved with the gospel. Marriages can be healed if we're involved with the gospel. Husband and wife, involved with the gospel. Friendships, relationships, and the gospel. We really, when I think about it, I don't think I have ever had a problem. The one who has a problem is the one who's lost. They are on their way to a destiny separated from God. I don't have a problem. They do. And I've got the answer to their problem. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the joy of the Lord, the message of, it's called the gospel. It's glad tidings. Good news. Good news. Good news. We thank you. Help us to be bringers of good news. Glad tidings, a message to cheer the hearer. The first message we ever preached in Africa. Luke 4:16, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, the blind would see, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And He sat down, closed the book, and they said, behold, the gracious words that come out of His mouth. Thank you, God, for this. You started your public ministry with a message of the gospel. We thank you tonight. God, make us fishers of men. God, more churches. How about 1,000 churches? 1,000 churches very soon. God, 1,000 churches. We have 770 or 40. I don't know exactly what it is, but 1,000 churches. New people, new converts. I have a question for you, God. Do you want people to get saved? I think He does. So my prayer, God, would you give me somebody? Would you save a soul? Would you save people in Baltimore? The Moravians prayed. They had a 150-year all-night prayer meeting. 150 years it went on for. And they evangelized, speaking to people. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've given us by grace. You've given us a ministry. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We really rejoice so much in our mission and the people that God has raised up to make this all happen. And Pastor Schiavelli's life and message was very good, very touching to us, and In a few minutes, we're going outside, and there'll be a missions march out there. I think it is not raining. Is it raining? We'll be out there anyway. I think the Lord lowered the temperature 20 degrees by the rain, and we'll have a good time out there. Somebody asked me, and they spoke to me about this convention, and I said, you know, it's amazing to work with such experienced and mature people and walk in the Spirit and feel and sense the Bible in our spirit and in our hearts, and having a diet of that as a way of life makes this fellowship, it takes an imagination to actually understand or think about what is happening. The devil wants to take away your imagination and just kind of put your life in a rigid program. When Moses, just for to make a few comments tonight here, Exodus 4, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto you.'" When I think about going to another country or being in our own country, Isabella Pellegrino did a good job, didn't she, Pastor Leff? You're grampy over there, aren't you? Isabella, in the beginning, she did such a good job. When she said that we can be a missionary where we are living, and people say, "Who the Lord has not appeared unto you." Wow. Lord has not appeared unto you. And we go somewhere and we say, "The Lord has appeared." And the Lord said unto him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." What God does with Moses is he has him experience personally a commitment. In our churches, there are new believers and they are children in the Lord. And they don't understand much, only their sins are forgiven. But they don't know that much. But if they keep coming to the church, and this is what our prayers are, that in our churches in Chicago and New Orleans and Las Vegas and up in New England and in Canada, that they would keep coming. And the Lord will speak to them and say, "What is in your hand?" And they will answer, it's a pencil, it's a basketball, it's a paycheck, it's a car keys, it's a wedding ring, it's a child. What is in your hand? My life, my job, this is in my hand. Put it down on the ground. You see, Moses had to experience for himself God and find God. Why would I go to another country if I haven't found God? And if I don't know who God is, why, what do I have to say to somebody if it is only, you know, advertising a meeting? But in the meeting, there must be God. And that is why this is growing, because God is there. And individually, when people hear, whether they are Hungarian or Polish or Russian or Uzbek or Indian or Nepali or Burmese or Thai or Vietnamese, it's the same story. what is in your hand? Cast it on the ground. I'm not putting it on the ground. I'm not putting it on the ground. So there it is. I'm not putting it on the ground, and that's the end. That's all that I have. All I have is a staff like everybody else has. My staff is, and my pencil and computer and home is like what everybody else has. But we heard Dr. Stevens preach in the beginning of this meeting, and we heard him yelling and shouting and preaching, and we were there, and we heard more than him shouting. We heard God speaking to our hearts, and it's the same message. What is in your hand? Can you trust me? Put it on the ground. I'll show you what it really is without me. It says, he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. That thing that is in the hand of people gets them in trouble. That thing that is in their hand makes them proud. That thing that is in their hand makes their life complicated. They become possessive. They are afraid of losing it. I'm not casting it on the ground. But when Moses did, it became a serpent and he fled. There are people that are running away in life. They run away. They're running away into their house. They run away from responsibility. They run away from life. They are afraid of life. They are afraid of life. They can't live their life. They're afraid of it. Wow. But it doesn't end there. The Lord said to Moses, put forth your hand. Take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. The computer becomes a different computer. My marriage becomes a different marriage. My family is a different family. My job is a different job. I gave it up to God, and God gave it back to me. And when I got it back, I had a ministry. I had a ministry. I'm not running away from anything. I'm not running away from Pharaoh. I'm not running away from Egypt. I'm not running away from the culture. I'm not running away from people. I'm not running away from myself. We found him. Now, wherever we go, we have a ministry. Wherever God puts us, we have authority. We have a ministry. That's amazing. Now the Lord could say, Moses got it in his hand. The Lord could say, do you understand now? I am sending you. Do you understand me? When they say, the Lord has not appeared unto you, you know in your heart he has appeared unto you. You know in your heart you have a ministry. You have a ministry. The purpose of all of our churches around the world is so that in those small, everyday living life experiences, people would find the authority of Christ in their hearts. They would say no to sin, yes to God. They would say, God would say, I want you to go to the next village and be a friend and talk to the guy selling tomatoes. And go there every day and buy one tomato from him. And when you go there, I sent you. I have sent you. You have a ministry. And after 1 or 2 months of buying tomatoes, invite him to your house or sit down and talk to him. I will be with your mouth. I will be in spirit. I will use you. You will sow seed. There'll be one day, who knows how it works, but this is what happens. He has 25 friends or 100 relatives, and that man has somehow an influence in that whole village. It's God's work. God has sent us, God has sent you, God is with you, but you've got to give up what is in your hand and hear from God. And when you put it down, you're saying, "It's Lord, that's your business. I trust you." And it becomes a serpent, and the Lord will say, "Don't run away from it. Go at it. Take it by the tail. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I will use you." And many of us can say, "I may not go to the foreign mission field, but my family needs me." And they don't mean need me to run away. My family needs me to take it by the tail. And my family needs me to stand in the gap and to love and to forgive. My pastor needs me. He needs me to be there to help him and take it by the tail and do something and go at it and have a ministry in the world, in our hometown, and maybe also around the world. Let's pray for each other this year like never before. Let's love each other more than ever before. I was saying to the Indians one time, when we were in India, I asked all the Indian pastors that come on the stage, there might have been 100 of them. I said, I got down there in the aisle. I said, "I know you guys love me, but do you love each other? I want to watch you for 10 minutes on the stage in front of the whole church. Go to each other and know each other's names and love each other and say, 'I'm going to pray for you this year.'" Do we love each other in Toronto? Are the phone calls made in Toronto? Do we love each other in Budapest? Do we love each other in Moscow and in Finland and all around the world? And that's the challenge. It's not the natural thing, you know, what is in your hand. I've got the ministry in my hand. I know how to do it. You don't know how to do it. Give it up. You don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. But give it up. And then God will say, "Take it up." And when you take it up, you will preach different, love different, serve different, forgive different, go different. You have a ministry from God through Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Amen. Wow, that's amazing. I'll be a different dad. I'll be a different husband. I'll be a different body member because God is with us in what we're doing. A little closing here. I just thought it might be nice. I don't want it to be a dramatic thing, like drama or something like that, but I just want to give anybody here an opportunity because maybe God is stirring in your heart. Excellent message from Pastor Shabelli. Thank you, Pastor. It's such an honor to be with this great team. You know, people that have been here, worked so hard, people that have that love and give. We saw the Faith Promise T-shirts, you know, on the children up here on stage. Faith, I want to make a promise to give $30 a month or $50 or whatever I want to give beyond my tithing to missions. You go online and give every month by faith, and God bless you in your missionary giving. We have tens of thousands of dollars of needs where we support a lot of people in different third country, world countries and other places. And so the money is used. It can be designated or undesignated. But you may do that this week and just make a commitment by faith, make a promise in the local church. And then in my family, why not have a world map in my family room, somewhere in my house, and bring my kids and talk about missions. reading a newsletter and helping my children understand that this is missions and we can do this and we are part of this. Let's reach the world with the gospel like we heard. And then lastly, maybe you're saying, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I just stumbled in here. I'm just kind of on the edge of the whole thing. I don't know what is happening. And we say to you, be patient. Trust God. This is not about an organization. This is about Jesus Christ being real for you. It's about Christ speaking to you. Listen, people do extreme sports because they're bored. They jump off cliffs and fly out of airplanes and they swim with the sharks and they do everything you can imagine because they're kind of looking for the jazz in life. I have never found anything more jazzy than take what is precious to me in my hand, my livelihood, and give it up. And then Jesus say, ah, it's a serpent. And he say, come on, take it by the tail. And when you got it by the tail, boy, that's exciting. That's exciting when you can wake up and just say, my life has meaning. It's exciting when you just say, everyday life is meaningful. It's beautiful. And then, so you go to Bible College. Move here to Baltimore if God is speaking to you. Pack up, move out. You know that people move across the country for a job. Why not move across the country for a church? Yeah, they move across the country for a girlfriend. Shame on you. No, they move across for a relationship. But will they move across the country for a Bible college and a training and discipleship and ministry and then be sent out? Be a pastor. We need pastors. Churches are closing by the thousands. There are no pastors that are worth their weight, their salt, the salt on their food. That's a good phrase. They're not worth the salt on their food. But these pastors that throw it down and take it up are highly and highly useful in the kingdom of God, and Jesus delights in them and uses us. So, before we go out the door and look at our march, or however this closes, I want to give anybody here an opportunity to come forward and say, I'm not making any commitment, but just saying in my heart, I want more, or I'm available, or maybe I could be a missionary, or maybe I'll go to Bible school or whatever it might be. And I just want to do it. Maybe we could have some piano music or something. And just for a few minutes, because I feel sometimes when you hear something and it touches your heart and you just want to do something about it. And it's between you and God. Nobody's taking names. Nobody's, you know, it's not about that, but it's just about you and God. If you want to, come on down front and just for a few minutes. And just say in your heart before you and God, God, I don't know what it means, but I'm here. I am here. I am. I'm available to you. Is that good? I think it is. Yeah. So, amen.